Well, dear church family, this Lord's Day, our hearts will be firmly set upon the word of God in that text in Deuteronomy 6:4, where Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in the word of God, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Of course, it's speaking here about the unity of God, who God is. It's speaking of the unity of God. We worship only one Lord God, as opposed to the plethora of false gods. And this was true of Israel. The children of Israel needed to hear with their hearts these words as they embarked upon the promise land, that great and bounteous land which the Lord God had given them, which he had promised to them. They needed to hear very carefully that who the Lord is, that he is one Lord, one God, as it were. And they especially needed to hear these words, lest they forget the nature of who God is. They forget the nature of who God is. He is the great benefactor behind everything that they had. They were the smallest amongst all peoples, and yet God took them and made them into a great nation. Everything that they had, their land, their families, their houses, everything, even their privileges and their character, and that made them distinct from other nations, it was all given to them. The word of God through Moses graciously compels the children of Israel to carefully listen now to the word of the living God before entering into the land of promise. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, as opposed to many. And I wonder, for us this Lord's Day morning, as we've approached this house where we worship the Lord God, I wonder if we've truly come here to hear God's words and to worship the Lord God. I trust that we have. But you know, right throughout this country, this land, many people come not really they don't sit down and prepare their hearts and to pray to God and to truly prepare to hear God's words and to listen and to be guided by them. They come to be entertained. They come with distractions upon their hearts, as it were. It's a sad reality. But do we come truly to listen to the word of God today? This is what Moses was saying here to the children of Israel. Listen, hear with your hearts. You're about to embark upon the promise land, are you listening now to what the word of God is having to say to you? For your eternal good and for your children's eternal welfare and that which would abound to God's glory. And what is it that he would have Israel to take to heart into today's sacred text? Well, I believe it is simply this. That there is only one true, living, eternal God who is the Lord Jehovah, in whom we have to do with. There's just one God. Moses here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is stirring Israel up really to the unity of God to prevent them into going into polytheism. And that is the worship of a multiplicity of gods, the gods of the nations, the gods of the Canaanites, as it were. They need to understand the nature of who God is, that he will in no wise share his glory with anyone else. You cannot worship God and mammon. You cannot worship the living God and make to yourself the gods of the nation and entertain them and live for them as well. God will not accept that. He's a jealous God. And he wants our hearts and our minds and our very lives to be devoted to him. And not and to not raise up gods that are no gods, that are the gods of man's figment of imaginations. He will not compete with his creation. And that's in essence what he is saying here, that there must be one God in our life, the true living God, and whom we need to be devoted to. They were to love him. They were to love him. And for all that he has, not only for everything that he had done for them, not only for all that he had done for them, but they were to love him for who he is. They were to love him for his nature, for his attributes, because he is the one and only true living God. He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent God, the immutable, never changing, eternal, living God. The one who is almighty, all powerful, that doesn't need to rely upon anyone, that cannot be influenced by anyone, the faithful God. And all the other gods, they are no gods, as it were. They are dead gods. They were to love him. Moses is stirring the people up to love God for who he is. He is the great benefactor behind all that they have, all goodness and holiness and purity, the source of all good in the universe. It comes from him. And so they were to guard their hearts and their affections and their desires and their imaginations for the one and only true God. And they were not to give it to the pluricity of the false gods of the Canaanites and the nations surrounding them. They were to love him for who he is, not just in what they can get from him, as it were. And that's what he is being stirred up to say here. They were to love their maker and their gracious covenant-keeping Lord. And like I said, they were to guard and watch over their heart's affections and desires, to love and worship and serve and fear only him. And to love him and watch their hearts against worshipping and serving the false gods of the Canaanites, serving these other gods with their lives. These gods that were no gods. These gods that sought to take them away from the true God, as it were. Now, friends, all scripture, we know, is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. It is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It is profitable for everything we need in life. We know that from 2 Timothy 3:16. And all these things written down in the Old Testament and the full counsel of Scripture are written down for our learning and for our eternal welfare. Now, friends, it would seem that many in Israel did not truly take these words of God to heart. Many. It was only a small remnant, really, that would actually truly listen to the nature of who God is and actually take this truth to heart. And so again, I'll pose the question to us here today. When we come to such gatherings like this, are we actually, truly, in a mind where we are worshipping God? That we've put aside everything else in life, we've prepared our hearts, and we are truly seeking to be guided and blessed by God? Or are there other things upon our hearts, other distractions upon our heart, other things that we're thinking about, and we're just cruising through, as it were. Are we truly listening? You see, in the subsequent years of this great speech, many in Israel would have become very careless in that prosperous land which they lived in. They would forget God's most precious holy words. They would forget all of his love and everything that he had done for them. And amidst their idolatry, they would even forget the nature of who God is, that he will in no wise compete against the false gods of those round about him. He will in no wise give his glory to those that are no gods. as it were. We're either worshipping the one and only true God with all of our hearts, mind, soul and strength, or we're giving our hearts to the false gods of this world. And we know there was a showdown, wasn't there, on Mount Carmel, to prove really who was the one and only true God. There was a showdown. God will not compete with these false gods, you see. And of course, these truths concerning Israel's rebellion really are not only true of them, but they are very telling of where we are today in Great Britain and in the West as a whole. We are almost identical in the West. Only just several generations ago, businesses here were, I'm not saying everything was perfect, businesses were closed on the Lord's Day. Families gathered around dinner tables and actually spoke about the important things of life. They didn't just veg out in front of YouTube or in front of the telly, as it were. We have literally imported all the false gods of the nations in this pluralistic society. We've just opened the doors, as it were. Come in. Come in. And we've imported all these false gods, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, as it were, the plethora of false gods. And they have had a massive effect upon our culture. And not only that, we have also exported many of our own homegrown gods as well to other nations of the world. We think of feminism. We think of environmentalism, wokeism, as it were, the party and drink binge culture, secular science and worldly intellectualism, as it were. We've exported all these homegrown gods through the West to other countries. The Hollywood ideals, as it were. And how the mighty really have fallen from grace. We think of Great Britain and America, who really was once a light to the world. You can't say that anymore. You can't say that we are a light to the world anymore. There is a remnant, yes. There's a remnant, but we are under judgment. And it's very clear, as a nation, the West, or nations of the West, we are under judgment in this nation. Look at the decisions our leaders are making. Like, absolutely, you would not govern your house in such a way. You're thinking, what decisions are they making? Ridiculous decisions are they making? Because we're under judgment as a nation. We've fallen from grace, as it were, as a nation. We have not worshipped the one and only true living God. We have allowed all these gods, like Israel did, as it were, and so God's hand is upon us. His hand of judgment, and it's only a remnant of God's people. It's amazing that we're not consumed. It's just a remnant that's holding that hand back, as it were. You know, there are people who really, they have good intentions. They want to come to the UK. They've got this kind of romantic view. They've got a romantic view of the UK. I was one of them before I came. I kind of watched these old movies, English gentlemen and proper ladies, as it were. And you had this romantic view of what England used to be like, cobbled old streets and, you know, all this kind of thing. But when I came to the UK, it was completely different from what I expected. And I lived in Slough, and I just thought, wow, it's like downtown Baghdad here. This is not what I thought it would be. It's completely different. It's like everyone's worshipping a god of their own doing or their own making here. It's completely different. It's like where is the place that I thought this would be? What is what I've been told of, as it were? And we see how children are treating their parents nowadays. The filthy language, little children roaming the streets, the parents just allowing them to do whatever they want. We're under judgment. We have given our hearts to the nations of the world. Well, why am I saying these things? Why do I tell you these things? Well, because we in Great Britain, like Israel, have forgotten that the Lord, our God, is one Lord. He is one God in his nature. Many in our society have forgotten that they even have a soul. You speak to many people and they have forgotten that they even have an eternal soul. An almighty God in whom they have to do with. And so the question is, have you and I forgotten who the Lord our God is? That he is one Lord. Because we can be deceived, even if you're a professing Christian, and we see this right throughout the West, as a professing Christian, we can live for more than one God. We can, and what I deem as what they call a backup Christianity, a bolt-on Christianity. In other words, I'll give to God just enough. I don't like the idea of hell. I don't like the idea. So I'll give God the scraps of my life. God to me will be a backup. He'll be a bolt-on to my life. I will not truly turn from myself and what I want in life. I will not truly turn from my sin and the things of this world, as it were, because I still love the gods of this world. I'm still living for these things deep down, as it were. That's what I call a backup Christianity. So you still have many professing Christians who are actually not truly living for the one true God. Their life is not wrapped up in Christ, and they're not thinking daily about the matters of eternity. We're not having family devotional time anymore. We don't start the day with the Lord. Husbands aren't talking to their wives about the Lord and ministering to them, and vice versa. They're just obsessed with this world, as it were. They don't start the day with the Lord. They don't have family devotional time. They're not living for the Lord every day. It's like a one a week Christianity. Well, as long as I give God the scraps of my time, this backup Christianity. Well, according to the word of God, we must worship only him every day. Love him, serve him from our heart. Every day our lives must be bound up in him. Well, to answer that question, really, that have we forgotten who the Lord our God is, that he is one Lord to be worshipped and to have our heart's affection alone? Whether that is true, I'm really just going to simply and briefly speak to you about the false gods of the Canaanites. As it were, this is not an exhaustive list, there are many, so I'm just going to speak to us about what their influence was. And of course it's true of nowadays, which many in Israel ended up giving their hearts to. The false gods are very much still alive today, although they're dead gods. They are no gods, they're the gods of man's imagination. But they've been resurrected and rebranded and redesigned and re-promoted, as it were, and they just take on a different form, which Satan has done. And at the height of Israel's idolatry, from the one and only true, living, eternal God, God, like I said, sent his messenger, his servant Elijah, to confront Israel's rebellion on Mount Carmel. There's a showdown, wasn't there? With the 450 prophets of Baal. And the gods of Canaan were a multiplicity of gods, and they were all connected, really. And we know that the Lord God shut the heavens, didn't he, for over 3 years. He is the one true God. All these gods of fertility and everything else, well, God can straight away just cut off that, the one true God. He is God alone. You see, many in Israel had given their hearts to the false gods of Baal and Ashtaroth and Dagon and all these other gods. They're all connected, you see, to one another. And these false deities were the false gods of fertility, of sexual immorality, amongst many other wicked perversions. And they were all rooted, really, if you looked at deep down within them, they were all rooted in sensuality. Sensuality. In other words, not walking by faith in the one and only true God, but walking by sight. Living like an animal. I'll do what I feel. Just give myself like an animal to my senses, as it were. Which really involved prostitution in its temples. It involved ecstatic, charismatic, and this it was blended in with Jehovah as well. They blended it in. But it involved ecstatic, charismatic crying and self-flagellation, which we see in the Roman Catholic Church and charismatic churches today, and other such outward performances in order to appease and gain Baal's attention. And that's what, of course, we saw at Mount Carmel. Oh, Baal, from morning to evening, trying to appease Baal, as it were, jumping up and down, this charismatic performance like we see in many churches today. With all the bands, all the charismatic things, trying to get Baal's attention, as it were, with this crying and self-flagellation, hurting oneself. And not a word, as it were, because it's not the true God. But even worse than these things, in order to appease Baal, many were willing to sacrifice even their firstborn child. They were willing to sacrifice them. These are facts. Thousands of children, hundreds of thousands of children were sacrificed to this wicked false god, Baal. Now friends, you and I might be rightfully disgusted when we hear such things, but I would advocate to you that this false Baal worship is not only prevalent throughout our culture today, but it's prevalent in many so-called churches throughout our land. It's when you look deep into it, it's not only prevalent in our culture, it's prevalent in many churches today in our land. The false gods of Baal and Molech and Dagon and Ashtaroth and Chemosh and Artemis and the many other gods, there's so many presented throughout the pages of Scripture, all have one thing in common, and that is they are all competing for your attention and your devotion against the one and only true living God. They want your heart and your senses, and for you to be ruled by sight and not by faith in Jehovah, in the one true living God, the God of Israel. And don't be fooled, friends, for a second. Because we don't hear their names anymore. We don't hear these names anymore. These false gods of sensuality and sense that oppose faith are highly revered. They are highly followed after and sacrificed to. And they looked up to in society to solve our problems in our culture today. Many are revered in our society over how they look. In their beauty, as it were, they're revered, and they're not revered in their character of who they are before the one and only true living God. They are looked up to and revered over their lifestyle or how they look or how they appear to other men. We have whole shelves in stores have magazines and books that are devoted to beautiful people. To lifestyles, to luxurious lifestyles, or gross masculinity, or how to lose weight, or beauty products, or fashion mags. Scores of TV programs and YouTube videos and Netflix movies and documentaries are dedicated to the false gods of worldly fashion and beauty. And like a flower, all these things are just fading away. They are constantly fading away. But the false gods, you see, there's a demand for them because people have given their hearts to these false gods of sense, of sensuality. And of course, we live in such days that many also are just bowing the knee at the altar of education and secular science. Many people trust in people who they've never ever met before. We saw that during COVID-19, did we not? As long as you've got a bunch of titles after your name or before your name, as long as you've got these titles, as it were, and you wear a white lab coat, well, you're considered like a demigod by the masses in healthcare, in climate, in the world's existence? Well, as long as you've got all these titles, well, they're to lift you up. You're God. And you could never have met these people before, but they'll dictate to you your healthcare, the climate, the world's existence. I remember, I'll never forget, about 15 years ago, I went on a film shoot to an engineering company that did a lot of R&D. And I'll never forget the person there. I went into this R&D department, research and development, and the MD was saying, well, these so-called scientists were and research laboratory people were doing all this stuff, and the MD said they were all scruffy. We were scruffy, their jeans and all this kind of thing. And they said, well, let's put them in white lab coats. Let's put them in white lab coats to make them look like they know what they're doing. And so people, in other words, to give them the authority. To give them authority. Put them in some goggles on their head. Put them on white lab coats. See, that's what our culture is constantly doing. Man must have the authority, you see. As long as they've got a whole bunch of qualifications and honors next to their name, and they put a white lab coat on them, well, they become like demigods. They'll lift them up, as it were. And whilst, again, I'm not against practical education, it's important for us to be educated, of course, but it does not give us the main answers, the eternal answers in life, does it not? It doesn't do that. Only the Holy Bible gives us the answers, the great answers in life. Who am I? What is the point of my existence? Who am I accountable to my life to? Only the Word of God gives us those answers in life. You know, hundreds of thousands of teenagers every year are literally shipped off to universities and colleges to literally be brainwashed by liberal professors every year against having faith in the one and only true God. A survey done by Southern Baptists has said around 80% of all Southern Baptists, when they leave to university from believing homes, they lose their faith. Over 80% when they go to university. They're brainwashed, you see, taken away from the one and only true living for him by faith. And brainwashed just to make a name for themselves, to give their hearts to walking by sight, as it were. The false gods of ease and sensual comfort, of course, are very much followed after and sacrificed to in our culture. We love just to chill out, don't we, in our culture, and take it easy, as it were. Just take it easy, Lee. Don't be serious about sin and about God. Just chill out. Take it easy. Live for the weekend, as it were. Cut corners at work. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. Just cut corners. Veg out in front of the telly in the evenings. And avoid hardship, even if it is the right thing to do, as it were. Just avoid it. And of course, that breeds selfishness, doesn't it? And self-absorbedness in someone's heart. And many young people, dear friends, nowadays, not all, but they do not have any work ethic anymore. They just want to chill out. They just want to be given everything on a plate to them, as it were. They want the pleasure and leisure without having to earn it for themselves through blood and sweat and tears like our forefathers did. We have so much more. Our young people have so much more than our forefathers did. Well, I'm not thankful. I want more. Give me. More, as it were. Why? Because we've given our hearts to the false gods of this wicked nation that we're now living in. For many, the false gods of comfort and ease have become top priority in life. That's my priority in life. I never want to have hardship, as it were. I'll avoid it at all costs, even if it is ignoring the Lord and his people and serving and worshipping the Lord with all my heart. They've lived to the full to the neglect of their never dying souls, as it were. And sadly, like I said, Great Britain today has become well known as well for its lewdness, its looseness, its debauched culture. I even remember when I was living in South Africa, secular people were warning me about Great Britain. Oh, it's incredibly loose over there. This is secular people. Like, I went there for a year. I remember I worked in a restaurant, and a secular guy saying it's very and a girl said it's incredibly loose over there. It's debauched, as it were. You see, the false gods of the senses, sensuality, fornication, premarital sex, casual relationships, adultery have completely been normalized and desensitized in our culture and in many churches today as well, completely been desensitized. Many churches today are just happy for the young people to date around. Oh, just date around. You've got to experiment a little bit, you know, and just find out if they're right for you or not, as it were. What? Where's the word of God in all this? What about worshipping Him alone? What about meeting someone and preparing your heart to be equally yoked in marriage and to live only for Him? No, no, date around. Well, we have this world's philosophy, and you know, you can just make your own way in life, as it were. No, no, friends. That is to give your heart to the culture, to the false gods. And sad to say, many churches today are just that way minded, and it's very telling. Sexual immorality dominates music in our culture, movies, video games, advertising, and just everyday day-to-day life and how people dress. If you're not in business, don't advertise, says the Bible. But in Christian circles, and not in those exact words, by the way, but it's the false gods are in, as it were, and there's a demand for these things because it's in people's hearts. We're given a king after our own wicked hearts. Our culture is being destroyed by sexual immorality and licentiousness. Many, like the false gods of the Canaanites, are even willing to kill their own children in the womb, as it were. The most innocent of life, the most pure in life, our leaders, the majority of our leaders in the West, are propagating for children to be slaughtered up until birth. And tell me that's not telling of these false gods are prevalent in our society. Slaughtering an innocent baby up until birth. It's wicked, isn't it? Isn't it? And of course, this is very telling of man's own heart. Really, this kind of carefree sex, irresponsible, feministic embrace, as it were. And it's not only that. You see, many parents have believed in this philosophy, even in Christian circles. You do what you want to do, I do what I want to do, as it were, in the evenings or whatever it is. You go to the gym, I'll go to my yoga class and stuff like that, and we'll just sit our children in front of the telly, and we'll do a plug once a week at Sunday school, as it were. And they just believe in this worldly philosophy. What about living for the Lord every day, like the Bible says? Only Him. What about family altar and devotional time to the Lord every day? Quiet time. We're living for the Lord every day. But you see, friends, this has been abandoned. And so the words here from Moses, that's why I put an emphasis upon that. Are you living? Am I living for the one and only true living God every day? In every part of my life. I'm not just plugging a one-a-week Christianity. Every day, do I start the day with the Lord? I do business with heaven and with the Lord before I commit my earthly business. And throughout the day and in the evening, I'm still worshipping the Lord. My children are still worshipping the Lord. We're singing His praises. We're reading His word. We're seeking His guidance. We're seeking His will. Are we doing that? Are we worshipping only Him? Or are we just all the false gods of the culture just come in. This cutting corners, backup Christianity. Sad, isn't it? But that's sad to say that's what this nation has come to. And no doubt the love of money is yet another false god that is prevalent in our society today. The love of money, not money itself. Money is not evil, it's needful, but the love of it. It's the root of all evil. It's the root cause of all evil, as it were. People will do just about anything to make money. They will lie. They will speak evil. They will avoid spending time with God's people, with God's causes, with serving the Lord. They will do anything, just about make money, just to get a few more pounds, just to live a more comfortable life, as it were. They'll betray loved ones, they'll speak evil, they'll do anything to get money. Have we given our hearts to this false god, as it were? And no wonder why Christ said himself in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. The other, or else he will hold to the one, or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the one and only true, living, eternal God and still love money and what money can get you, as it were, the stuff that money can get you, the things that are just going to die and fade in the end. You cannot love God, and if you're giving your heart to all these things, you cannot be truly serving the Lord. I'm not saying we Christians cannot fall and backslide and have sins, but if our pattern in life is we're giving our hearts to all these things, it's a surety that we're not yet the Lord's. You cannot love God, because either you'll love the one and you'll despise the other. Either you'll hold to the one and you'll hate the other one. And you're just giving him the scraps of your time. Well, I'm still a Christian because I go to church and I give God the scraps of my time. But I'm not truly living for the Lord and loving him from my heart and mind and soul every day, and my strength, and serving him in every part of my life. I have not truly done that. Now, friends, there are many false gods, which I haven't mentioned. I can keep on going. The false gods of family, as it were. You know, family makes, a husband makes a terrible god. A wife makes a terrible god. Children make a terrible god because they're sinners, aren't they? Don't make your husband into a demigod, or your wife, or your family. They make a terrible god because they're sinners. I can go on and on. Of these things. There's only one true God who's given us all the good things. Family are good, but are only good if we love the Lord God and we commit these things unto Him. So there are, I haven't even touched the surface. I can go on and on about these things. But when it comes down to it, really, they are all ultimately just a symptom of the underlying false God of self. That's what it comes down to. Self-love, like Satan. I will be like the Most High. I will want to do what I want in life. I will do these things. It's all an underlying symptom of self-love. It's selfishness, as it were. And we know that. See the rise of social media. YouTube. It's all about me. Facebook. It's all about how I appear to everyone else. Instagram. I want it quick. Now. Me, me, me. I want it. It's all about the outward, as it were. Selfishness is really it's the underlying problem with man's heart, with all of our hearts by nature. And unless that is dealt with, the underlying problem, we're lost. And the Lord Jesus has confirmed, the proof text to that is Luke 14:26, where the Lord Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's what it is to be a Christian. Faith and true saving grace and what Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary, and truly turning from sin and forsaking it, and trusting only upon his finished work and what he's done upon the cross of Calvary to us, If it is a genuine work, it is a self-emptying, self-denying grace. What does that mean? I deny myself because I'm born of God. I love Him not only more than my wife and my children, because He has given me all these things. Everything is from Him. And I love Him for who He is, for His nature, because He is the fount of every blessing, the great benefactor behind everything. And it is treason not to love Him for that. And you see, if you have not got to the point where you do not love God more than yourself, more than what you want in life, your worldly dreams and schemes, you're not a believer. When I was converted, and I was still thinking I was a Christian, that day I knew that I loved God more than me. And serving the Lord means we need to deny this world and the things of this world, the false gods of this world, for living for sensual things and worship Him alone. Has that happened, friends? Has that happened? You know, it's not going to matter what anyone else thinks. Lord, look at that lovely Christian. Look at how they pray. Look at all these. It doesn't matter about that. One day you're going to stand before God, and He'll say, "You gave your heart. You did all these things in my name. Oh, cast out devils and all these things. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never had a real relationship with you. You didn't live for me every day. You didn't cry unto me. You loved the gods of this world. Money. You loved money. You gave your heart. Oh yes, you said you loved me, but you're up every night watching pornography behind your wife's back or behind. Oh, you did all these things. The deadlock of sin hasn't been broken. You don't love me. Depart from me. You work iniquity. You haven't closed with me, as it were." And that's the reality of the worldly Christianity around us. It's just not serious about the Word of God. It's about worshipping only Him. And it's a tragedy, friends. It's tragic. The Lord our God is one Lord, and He will not share His glory to anyone else. No, not even oneself. He has to be first in our hearts and our lives. And so I'll ask us once again, how many gods are you worshipping? How many gods are you worshipping with your very heart that God sees, and your mind, and your affections, and your ambitions, and your desires, with your life? That the only one and only true eternal God has given you. How many? Because that will depend who is your God. It will depend if you're truly a Christian, not only in name, but in spirit as well, in heart, and been born again. Because that's what's going to matter in the end, really. How many gods are in your life? Does the one and true eternal God have your heart? Are you who you say you are in private, in the dark, as it were? Is there a prayer life? Has sin become exceedingly sinful? Has all things become new? Like a little child, you become moldable, you become dependent upon the Lord God. You love Him for who He is. You feed off the milk and meat of His word. Is that you? Or does the false God still have this world? Have you truly not forsaken them, and God is just still a bolt on to your life? How many gods are there in your life, friends? And I'll speak to me as well. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Has there been a time where you have been truly born again? I say this because I grew up and I thought I was a Christian, but I was giving my heart to the things of this world. But when I truly was saved, I actually understood that it's to be a Christian is more. It's not about me anymore. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about living for Him. It's not my will be done. It's His. It's about living for my Savior, my God, for Him. To be truly converted means a life for a life. Eye for an eye, a life for a life. Ah, wretched, hell deserving, vile, unworthy lives for the Lamb of God, the precious, the Holy One of Israel. It's not even worth mentioning, is it? We, my life for his. And now I love him, completely devoted to him. A life, my life is in his hands. Is that how you feel? Is that who you are now? To be truly saved means to love God for who he is, not just to avoid hell. You see, you can also, that's another thing. You can love God. People can say, I really don't want to go to hell. I don't like the thought of hell. And so I'll do enough to be a Christian. I'll go to church once a week. I'll read the odd psalm. I'll do just about enough to be a Christian. I'll give him the scraps of my time, of my life. I will not give God the best of my time, the best of my life. Does God have your best? Are you like Abel? Do you give God your best? Or are you like Cain? Well, I'll sacrifice just enough, as it were. Well, you need to come to Christ. If this is you, if this is me, you need to turn to the Lord and love only him for who he is. You need to turn from all these false gods. Truly repent and believe and trust that he alone can save you, and he can give you that new heart and mind and grace and principles to love him and to live exclusively for him because of what he's done on the cross for you, and reconciling and purchasing you and redeeming you and giving you his spirit so you can live exclusively for him. To be truly saved means that we must love and serve only him with our very lives. We must love, serve, and fear him. Are we serving him with our hearts? Do we have a burden for the lost and to live for the Lord in our lives? Is it about, it's not my life, I want to serve you. I'm in your kingdom now. How many gods are you worshipping? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I just want to encourage us as Christians, in terms of our sanctification, don't allow the Canaanite sensual gods, as it were, to settle in your heart. I'm not saying that we Christians are perfect. We've got a perfect standing before God because of Christ's blood and righteousness. But we know from Scripture, we can still fall into and be tempted by the false gods of the nations round about us. Don't allow those Canaanitish gods to settle in your heart. Because you know what will happen? They'll grow up like the Canaanites did. They'll settle, as it were. They'll take up room. And like the Gazans, they'll embed in, as it were. And they'll be a lot harder to get out, as it were. If you allow them to settle in, they'll grow up. They'll take up room, they'll take up time, and they'll be a lot harder in the end to get out. That's why we need true daily repentance and faith to drive out those Canaanites, this selfishness within us, the sensualness, living for the here and now, living for the sensual things by sight. Those things must die daily. Faith in grace is a self-emptying work as well, denying ourselves, taking up the cross, as it were, depending utterly upon him, loving and worshipping only him. We must drive them all out by God's grace. And so I hope and pray and trust that all of us will be doing that. Amen.
Feel free to contact us at Sovereign Grace Church in Tiverton. Email us at grace2seekers@gmail.com. That's grace2seekers@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can visit our website at www.sovereigngracereformedchurch.co.uk.